fighting for America.
There's been 23 months since then when all you've been doing is flapping your mouth and not doing anything. So listen, you want to have the conversation later, I'm happy to have it, buddy. But until that time, sit down and shut up.
Fighting for Idaho.
You got to make sure Allison's got the ball at the end of the game by hitting every single solitary soul you know to go and vote and have a victory. Thank you. God bless you.
Fighting for you.
If you got it, Paul, or you thought you had it,
I would start playing that song by Queen. Goodbye, everybody.
Boise's Mr. Right.
I've got to
go.
Kevin Miller in the morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, it is 36 degrees in Star, Idaho. Senator Russ Fulcher joining us right here, right now at 580KIDO. Senator, good to have you with us.
Kevin, good morning, and I've never had a chance to say congratulations on Marconi. Man, that's a big deal. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. You're making me blush already this morning. First and foremost, what have you been up to? Your supporters are still out there. We hear a lot of people clamoring for you to still be in this race. They still are loyal to you. What have you been up to since the primary?
I am working, Kevin. In fact, as you know, we tried to connect last week at some point in time, and I have been running my wheels off. This is the first time in 10 years, hard for me to believe, but the first time in 10 years that I have been full-time in the private sector, going out and making a paycheck and paying all my taxes. Of course, I pay all my taxes anyway. But
sure.
But hey, you know what? It feels good to be out, be making money again and plugging back in. And I'm busy, so I'm blessed.
What is it like for those of us that have followed you and other candidates to go from finding out, hey, what did Kevin Miller say today? What's in the newspaper up north? What's going on in East Idaho? To being private citizen Senator Fulcher. One day, you're in the fight. The next day, you're hanging out with the folks.
You know, my wife and I put a lot of thought and prayer to that whole scenario, and we accepted the outcome before it ever happened. And of course, we were optimistic, and to be honest, I thought we were going to pull it off here in May. Mm-hmm. We were making a lot of progress there, but turns out that we didn't. And we got a strong faith base in our family. We believe that there is a reason for that. I accept that. And so we plugged in with really not a whole lot of a problem back into the private sector. But I still keep an eye on it. I kick on Kevin Miller, and I keep an eye on what you're doing.
Oh, we're not
running away.
How do you see this all playing out?
With the election?
You've been on the sidelines watching as the armies engage, the debates going on, the radio shows. How do you see it?
Probably not going to be a tremendous number of surprises. I do think there's going to be a low voter turnout. I think that the social issues are going to be a bigger part than people think. You know, it's one thing that nobody likes to talk about, and it's uncomfortable and it's controversial, but the bottom line is people will vote in accordance with that. So I think that's going to be an issue, but it's still going to be a low voter turnout. I think you're going to see the Republicans dominate once again. Maybe not a sweep, but for the most part, it's not going to be a tremendous number of surprises.
How is your relationship with Governor Otter?
It's good. You know, we don't talk a lot. We've talked two or three times maybe since the primary, but you know, there's nothing. There was never anything personal. I think I speak for him too when I say I don't think there's anything personal. We had an honest disagreement on some solutions, but Kevin, you know, I don't take those things personally. I don't think he does either, and that's the way it should be.
So you have endorsed the governor.
Actually, what I've done is I've attempted to follow the model that what Reagan did in 1976. You may recall he came up a little bit short with a race against Gerald Ford. And there was a lot of anxiety within the party. There's a lot of tension within our party right now. And so kind of what Reagan did is I went back and studied that. I remember it as a kid, but as I studied that, was he really came out and he promoted conservative principles. And he never turned his back on President Ford. He wasn't the primary cheerleader, nor should he have been, I don't think, at that time. And that's where I'm at. You know, I'm until January 4, I am still the majority caucus chairman in the Idaho State Senate, and I'm not going to turn my back on my party. At the same time, there's a lot of tension there, and so I have not been a primary cheerleader either.
Let's talk a little bit about the state of the Idaho Republican Party. We had the controversy involving former Chairman Barry Peterson, who appeared on our program on Saturday. We have the new chairman, Stephen Yates, who will be on tomorrow, bringing back the party, getting some money in, again, as the Senate caucus majority leader, as private citizen, as a former candidate. How do you see your party?
Well, there's a lot of tension there, as I mentioned earlier, and that's not going to change immediately. However, after tomorrow and the results are in, this is going to start calming down a little bit. And if the new leadership will reach out and engage, as I believe he will, and I'm talking about Chairman Yates, and start bridging some of those gaps returning to a kind of a format or a policy of inclusion, I think you're going to see that die down, and I think you're going to see we're probably going to be better as a result of it. But there's still a broad differentiation within the party. Not going to go away, but I do think it's going to improve.
How do you see the governor's race?
I think the governor wins. You know, in a environment where you've got Barack Obama as president of the United States and the liberal policies that he's espouses, and in my view, the negativity of those and the agreement by the Idaho constituency that those are negative policies, I just don't see the majority of people in the state of Idaho throwing the lever for the Democrat. And frankly, I don't think they should. Those are not good policies for our state, and I don't think that we will or should adopt them.
On the other hand, you take a look at Mr. Bulukoff, spending an exorbitant amount of money, a likable fellow, certainly powerful within the Treasure Valley community based on his years of charitable giving, his years of being an active business member, his years of being involved in the Boise School Board. As someone who has run not only as on the top of the ticket, but as a surrogate for others, how do you see his campaign and the fact that he's got the money advantage? He's probably going to over-deliver when it comes to Ada and Canyon County, both counties that you won, and he's got that silver bullet, the educators.
Well, there's a couple things going on there. And first of all, nothing negative against Mr. Bulukoff with his personal achievements. I mean, I'm not going to be critical there at all. But from a policy standpoint, I think he's got a number of fundamental problems. Number one, I believe he's on the wrong side of the issue with the majority of Idahoans when it comes to things like Second Amendment, when it comes to things like choice, when it comes to things like the definition of marriage. And I think he's got another issue he's got to reconcile that I know is going on, and that's with his own church. The church that he belongs to is pretty strong and pretty clear on where they stand on some of these issues, and he's on the other side of that fence, and he's got to reconcile that. And so when you start going into other parts of the state where that's a bigger factor, I'm talking about the Southeast, it's a big sway area within this state, that's something that I think he's going to have a hard time in overcoming.
What about the education issue? I mean, you've watched these debates, you've been a part of these debates. It seems that everything revolves around education, and you have a lot of people saying, hey, there could be otter fatigue. You have your folks that, you know, continue to believe in you. You have Mr. Bujak with his campaign targeting your folks. But back to education, how big of an issue is that in this race that will be decided tomorrow?
It's very significant. And in particular, I even more so, Kevin, than with the governor's race, is with the superintendent of public instruction. And here's the deal, in my view. If, because that's going to be close, if either Ibarra or Jones would have come out with a clear position on Common Core, they'd win it. Neither one of them have, that I can tell. They have both danced around that issue. Neither one has said, hey, look. And by the way, both could have done so and had a significant constituency within their party back them up, including the Democrats. I mean, the Democrat stakeholders aren't crazy about Common Core either. And the SBAC test. So I think it's the deciding issue in that race. It is a factor in all the rest of those races, and the governor's race as well, but I know you've taught Common Core so much, but it continues to grow in prominence. It was danced around in the superintendent public instruction races. That could have been the deciding factor for either of those candidates.
Let's continue on with that, Senator Fulcher, because I can remember before you announced your listening tour, you and I are talking both on and off the air here at 580 KIDO, and we talked about the personal cost of being in a campaign, and I think that you, fortunately, got through it unscathed. But you take a look at that state school superintendent's race. You have people wondering whether or not one candidate had a divorce or not, the allegations of plagiarism, blah, blah, blah. And then on the other hand, just released over the weekend, you've got another website talking about the personal issues involving one of the candidate's families. Does this enhance or hurt the race when we're talking about educating Idaho's kids, these personal issues that have become public knowledge?
It hurts it. It's a distraction. In my case, I had the advantage of being a boring guy.
Right.
So, to that end, there's just not a whole lot of fun, controversial stuff on that front. But nevertheless, it's a distraction. I don't like to see the attack style campaign structure tends to be worse in the general than the primary. We did have our episodes in the primary, but it tends to be worse in the general. It's poking its head up here. You saw some of the negative attack stuff going on with Secretary of State here in the last few days. I just don't like it, and I think it hurts the process, hurts the reputation of the candidates, hurts the reputation of what we do, and just bad all the way around.
Back to that issue, though, is it too close to call the state school superintendent's race? You have one candidate that's been there before, barely lost to the current state school superintendent, Tom Luna. And then on the other hand, you have a relative unknown who came out of a four-candidate primary.
Too close to call. Too close to call.
Is that the strength of the issue, the strength of the parties? What's the attribution for being too close to call?
Well, clearly there's an advantage for Sherry Barr of being a Republican. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, we're a Republican state. This is Republican country, and that's clearly an advantage for her. As you mentioned, she's had her own struggles with one thing or another in communication and accusations, blah, 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 blah. How much impact that has, I don't know. Jones, on the other hand, has been around, and she went through the battle with Luna, and you know that kind of thing. It does make a difference. I mean, if you've been down the pike before, I can tell you, if I run another statewide campaign, I will be better as a result. And Jones has been down that path. She's had the experience. She's got the contacts, and so even though she's in the minority party, I think she's definitely a factor in a race.
More coming up with Senator Fulcher. If you have a question for him, a comment, like to encourage him, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You're listening to Kevin Miller. Let's get you to work safely.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
823, Senator Fulcher with us. Let's go to the phones, and we go to Craig in Boise at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, Kevin. I want to thank Senator Fulcher for running for governor. I donated quite a bit to his campaign. We used to chat on email, and I believe he was and is the best candidate still. Unfortunately, things didn't work out. But I would like to see him and his ideas move forward in the future if possible.
Well, Craig, you just made me feel great. And let me just come right back at you. Thank you for your help. And there's one of the benefits of doing what I did was it was a life-changing experience. And I believe I'm a better person as a result of going through what we went through. We did get issues out there that are getting addressed and discussed that wouldn't have been otherwise. And the blessing of meeting people like you and building those relationships was a lifelong experience that I'll never forget. And I got to say thanks to you and others who reached out and helped.
Oh, certainly. I mean, I obviously politics are pretty cynical right now, and I'm not really real positive about politics in the United States at this point. But I felt very strong about your campaign and your message, and just your values and yourself and the way you communicated. So I do hope you run again in the future between yourself and Mr. Bujak. I think we have some great candidates with great ideas. So, again, I support you, and thank you again.
Well, we're not going away, and thank you, and you know, if we had more folks like yourself who would engage, and Bujek, I think, in similar fashion, engage and put forth their positions, we wouldn't have the apathy across the board that we do now. So thank you, Craig.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right, Craig, we appreciate it. We go to the young, budding conservative comedian Owen Eagle for Senator Fulcher at 580 KIDO.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Russ. How you doing?
Good morning. Oh, I'm just absolutely fantabulous.
Good, good. I'd like to break down my analysis of our gubernatorial race to a food analogy, if I could be so bold.
Sounds good.
All right. A.J. Belukoff is the tofu candidate. Kind of bland, kind of mushy. John Bujek is the blowfish candidate. Exciting but dangerous. And lastly, Butch Otter is the manager's special, the week-old steak that you get at Albertsons at the meat counter. That's, you know, it's been around a while, but it will work.
Okay, so I got to ask you, what would I have been if I was still on this hunt? Maybe I don't want to ask that question.
I think you would have been the potato candidate.
I can deal with that. A little starchy? Yeah.
A good staple, you know, sticks to your ribs. Next time around, and I was listening to Mr. Pankey this morning, and I threw one last one in about Mr. Pankey. Clearly he's the mixed nut candidate.
I'll let Kevin address that one.
All right, guys, have a good day, Russ. We'll get him next time, buddy.
Thanks, O.
All right, O from Eagle here at 580 KIDO. So what happens after election night? What are we going to see between the people that won and the people that lost? A little different this time because we've got the Republicans and the Democrats. How will this make our state better getting ready for the legislative season?
Well, that's when the jockeying really starts. The legislative candidates, by tradition, will do what's called a North Idaho tour. So all those who were elected in the general will get an invite. They already have if they don't have an opponent, but they'll get an invite to go up north, and there'll be the first informal caucus meetings for both of those groups. And that's when the strategy really starts. And frankly, that's when the lobbyists kick into gear. So of the issues coming up over this next season, they've got their little grid. They've got their chart. They've got the tick sheet on who is where and where they think they lean on various issues. And that's when the lobbyist begins in earnest. That's when the strategies begin in earnest. And also, that's when the leadership a jockeying starts taking place. All those are necessary prospects, but in earnest, when you know for sure who's going to be where, that's when the real strategy starts getting played out.
So you believe that turnout will not be high tomorrow?
I don't think it's going to be high. Don't think it's going to be
high. As an American, how does that make you feel?
Bad, you know, and it goes back to that apathy thing again. That's why I think it's good when we get some challenges in some of these races. It drums up some interest. It drums up some topics that maybe wouldn't be in the forefront any other way. But no, I mean, and I was reading some, Kevin, I was reading some poll results here from last month that was really disturbing when it comes to the demographic of who's voting
right.
And who's not. Mm-hmm. If you're 60 and over, you got a reasonably good chance of voting. If you're under 60, believe that or not, the turnout is extremely low. And so, you know, to your listenership, especially those younger folks, my goodness, man, this lies in your hands. This is a huge responsibility. It's a huge blessing and opportunity and privilege to be able to participate, show up at the polls and vote.
What's next for Governor Otter?
For Governor Otter?
If he wins?
Well, he's going to carry through with the policies that he's laid out there. I think that he's probably going to put economic development is try to be his forefront, and that'll be something that he continues to push, I think. There'll probably be some changeover within the agency heads, but not a tremendous amount. And so, he'll have some challenges, and there's still going to be some things coming back around on what transpires in terms of the implementation of the core, what happens with the implementation of the health exchange. And now he's got the definition of marriage and the civil union stuff that's going to be on the docket for him. So he's going to have his plate full. No matter who's in there, he's going to have his plate full.
But that's what brings me to a couple others. If Mr. Belukov wins, what happens to him dealing with a Republican legislature?
Well, and that's one of the reasons why personally I just can't go there, is the influence of a governor on agencies, the influence of a governor on appointees is tremendous, and that has a long-term trickle-down effect on the entire state. And so there would be a wholesale changeover there. I don't think that's going to happen, but if it were to happen, you would also see a totally different attitude coming out of the legislature. Because right now, right, wrong, or indifferent, for the most part, there is a partnership to a large extent when you have a Republican-controlled executive branch and a Republican-controlled legislative branch. You split those up, there's going to be the defense shields are going to start coming up, and you're going to see the independent strategies start playing out between branches.
And if history does happen and you have John Bujak winning, his loyalty to neither parties, how would he govern?
He governs like a Republican, I think, because I think at the core that's what he is. And, he's in the race. And now, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm presuming he's in the race because he saw a void in and so he stepped in. But if I recall correctly, he's conducting himself as a Republican in other areas, and I would anticipate that that's how that would play out.
Senator Fulcher, don't be a stranger. We look forward to hearing from you again.
I love it, and I appreciate you giving me a chance to communicate with your listenership, and just carry on, my friend, carry on.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
A.J. Belukov is the tofu candidate, kind of bland, kind of mushy. John Bujak is the blowfish candidate, exciting but dangerous. Butch Otter is the manager's special, the week-old steak that you get at Albertsons at the meat counter. It's been around a while.
There we have it, one of our great comedians, communicators. Oh, from Eagle. I don't know if Rachel Sutherland from Fox News can top that. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
So here we are, all races local, but the big national referendum tomorrow, the midterms.
Well, it's kind of shaping up to be that way, Kevin. Yeah, the big question is, will the Senate go into Republican hands? And a lot of people are looking at that as some kind of a bellwether for what could happen in 2016. But by the same token, if it remains in Democratic control, that also signifies something. But a lot of polls are showing that this Senate is getting ready to flip.
What does that mean for average, ordinary folks? It means a lot, I guess, for the politicos that are, you know, making money off this, the politicians themselves. Heck, we've got Tom Harkin talking about Joni Ernst looks, and yet we have ISIS to face.
Right, I know. But the thing is, when you talk about ISIS and you talk about something like Ebola, polls are showing that when Americans go to the voting booth tomorrow, if they're going, that their top concern is still the economy. And so I think, you know, when people look at these elections, they're not looking about whether or not, Joni Ernst is attractive, as her opponent was saying, or whether or not she has cute ads. They're looking to see, you know, who's going to make my bank balance look a little better. And that's still the issue that's on a lot of our minds.
And you have soon to be, could be, Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, pledging to work with the President, pledging to work with the House, pledging to get some of these big issues, these impasses passed. But, you know, politically speaking, if he does that, doesn't that really help the Democrats? Doesn't that help the President if he gets immigration reform passed?
Well, and it would. But many are saying that that's kind of just talk. I mean, when you're looking at if he were to become the majority leader there, right now he is Senate minority leader. If he would become majority leader, he would have a lot on his plate with guiding the Senate, obviously. But with both, in that case, in that scenario, with both Congress and Senate being controlled by Republicans, one would have to speculate that the White House probably wouldn't get a great deal done. I mean, he can talk a good game about working across the aisle, but that remains to be seen.
Well, that'll be and here's the other thing, and we've seen this before. When all of a sudden you have the Republican Party, and we see this here in Idaho quite a bit, where you have the Republican Party controlling everything, all of a sudden you have the other party within the Republican Party, whether it's the grassroots, the conservatives, the Tea Party folks, going after the Republicans. So it's almost like we have three parties, if you will.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting point. And there has been some deep divisions within the Republican Party, especially when it comes to the Tea Partiers and so on. And it makes you wonder, what would happen if both sides, if both chambers were in Republican control? Would there be more divisions between these groups and factions, or would they unite and just be against the president's policies? It does seem that this midterm election has a lot to do with the president's policies. President Easy even said it himself, this has to do with his policies. Of course, he thinks people will vote for his policies. When it comes down to it, though, polls are showing that a lot of these races are indeed very, very close.
Rachel, for people that like politics, like a lot of people like sports, how what races should we be watching?
Yeah, there are several key races to watch. In particular, you do want to look at Iowa, where you have a close race. You have Joni Ernst, as you know, who has kind of popped out on the scene with some really interesting campaign ads, one of them having to do with castrating pigs growing up on a hog farm. That really got her on the map. Now she has a 7-point lead over the Democratic challenger, Representative Bruce Braley. That was according to a Des Moines Register poll just out over the weekend. Other states to watch, of course, Georgia and Louisiana. We know that Georgia and Louisiana are both headed for runoff elections, so we probably won't know tomorrow night whether or not who will control the Senate. That's according to an NBC Marist poll. Kentucky might actually have a runoff as well. That's one that we're watching very closely with Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. He had seemed like he was kind of getting a little bit of a distance between himself and Allison Grimes, but the from all accounts, I mean, it looks like that could be a state that is in major play.
Interesting. Rachel, we always appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
As we get closer.
Whatever happened to... Okay, bye. Then, you wait to hang up. Well, at least we in Idaho have class. And we appreciate Rachel. She does a great job. 8:45, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. We do want to thank Mr. Bujek, Mr. Pankey, Senator Fulcher for joining us. Mr. Pankey coming out to us literally in the 6 o'clock hour. If you missed that, at 580KIDO.com. One issue, actually two issues that have nothing to do with each other. We will attempt to break them down. The big issue yesterday in Eagle, where you have a rally in support of the suspended teacher, Clay Hatfield. Apparently, this is all we know because the West Data Board isn't talking. Apparently, he was placed on administrative leave because he said some swear words, talked about somebody's bosom, and I believe he allegedly tossed a book at somebody and it hit them. So, according to our friends at Channel 7, a parent said it was two swear words in class, though not directed towards students. He reportedly threw a book to a student, accidentally hitting the student. Well, these things happen. But as with often is the case, when they have, 1,500 folks here signed up for a petition to keep Mr. Hatfield, from what I understand, a very popular teacher. But as what often happens here in these cases, there's always more to the story. And do you really believe at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, that a teacher who has been Seven's Heroes, by the way, none greater honor locally than to be the Seven's Heroes, if you will, should be fired for saying swear words or for talking about a student that wore a bad outfit or for making a mistake by tossing a book to a kid. you know, life is a challenge. People always say, the national folks on talk radio always talk about, well, you say things within 3 or 4 hours, anything can happen because there's no net. And you hear about people making mistakes. That's the same way that the classroom is. You talk to these kids, they become part of your synergy, your family, but they're not really your family. They're there for an hour a day, 5 days a week. Sometimes, regrettably, that's more than they get with their parents. And you let your guard down. And what happens? We have a young man who is on paid leave for, from what we know, from what the published reports say, for tossing a book, swearing, and possibly talking about a young lady's bosoms that were exposed or that showed too much. Now, in the world of education, does that happen every day? Probably not. However, is there more to the story? And now the West Data Board has decided not to hold the hearing to give him the boot or to vote on giving him the boot, probably until over the holidays when the heat is off. That's what usually happens in these cases. That's what happened to me when the Obama campaign got me in Pittsburgh. It wasn't right then and there. It was 2 months later. When the heat is off and nobody cares because it's the holidays. But if this were your child, your kid, your school, would you have a problem with a teacher swearing in class? Or a teacher mistakenly, allegedly throwing a book and doink, bouncing it or hitting a kid? It's probably best not to throw books in class. Or, and I can tell you, I'm sure where this happened. You had somebody talking to him. They were probably killing time before the end of the period, the end of the bell. And, you know, Mr. Hatfield, tell us about the dress codes here. And feeling very comfortable with a group of kids, he did that. Then somebody went home to their parents and ratted him out. But to me, and it's like this, it's the audience of one. What is the audience of one? I'm glad you asked. It doesn't matter what you do or how you do it. It is whether or not you have the support of that one influential person. And that's what I believe this comes down to in at Eagle High involving Mr. Hatfield. Somebody somewhere believes that he has wronged them, and they're trying to get him. And we could be wrong. There could be more to the story. In fairness to the board, they won't discuss it. Why? Because they're the ones liable. They can't talk about an internal matter. But I applaud the people that went to the rally for him yesterday. What was it, 1,000 people, 1,500 people? Well, those are the people that have signed the petition, do not wanting this guy to get the boot. We love Hatfield. What does that say in the world of tune out, in the world of not being involved in election politics? You have people caring about a teacher. That's a good thing. But, you know, I believe that teachers, just like everyone else, they're role models. And you shouldn't swear, you shouldn't cuss, you shouldn't do anything that you're not comfortable doing in front of those kids' parents. What do you think? 580-5436. Let's get you to work safely and on.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
.855, Kevin Miller in the morning. We go to Mark in Boise. Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, sir. I want your opinion on what you think tomorrow the Senate races will turn out to be as far as who do you think is going to win the majority of the Senate? And then I'm going to give you my response, what I think.
I believe the Republicans will win, and then I believe it will be time to sell out and do the Obama agenda because they want to be elected.
Very good observation. I think you're right there, Kevin. My opinion, though, is that either the Democrats will just barely eke it out. If you notice earlier in the year, last year, the Democrats are being slammed because of all of Obama's annex. Also, as you notice, as we get closer to the elections, it seems to be all these races are getting tighter and tighter and tighter. I went to a website called thefederalist.com, do Democrats always win close statewide elections? And they did a statewide survey between 1998 to 2013, found that for some reason the Democrats always seem to eke out these close races. So my guess is that the Democrats will either win, or even if it's tied, you have your rhinos that are in there, like McCain, Mitch McConnell, that are in there, and you got Biden to make the deciding vote anyway. So I really think it'll maintain. And Obama did, by the way, a few weeks back on Fox, one of the Carter political analysts had made a comment that Obama still thinks that they're going to hold the Senate. So I'll let you go on that happy thought.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. Let's get you to traffic at 580 KIDO. You know, I appreciate Mark calling in. Always good to have Mark's contributions to the program. Coming up tomorrow, Steve Yates will join us, Republican Party chairman, and we'll leave it open to you to campaign for your favorite candidates. On Wednesday, we'll get your reaction. Thursday, we'll be back in the schools. But here's the skinny, whether it's Mitch McConnell or Mitt Romney, you know, the Republicans continue to play Lucy to our Charlie Brown. If, in fact, they do win, no immigration reform. If they do win, don't sell us out to the president. It's history repeating itself. What happens when the Republicans win, as we saw with Clinton? Well, then they start passing legislation, and then all of a sudden we get the hose, whether it's retroactive taxes, whether it's Common Core. Regardless, this administration needs to be stopped. You want to really change America? Take a look at what a ripoff healthcare has become and will become even more. Don't give us platitudes. Please give us solutions, not only for those middle-class families that are fighting to stay alive, to build a future for their kids and their kids' kids, but for those young people that are drowning in student debt and looking for that opportunity. You know how brilliant it is, how inspiring it is to see a young person full of hope and energy and dynamic? Why do we want to ruin that by crushing them? Let's inspire everyone, right? Good day. God bless. Keep the faith. Serving Emmett, Idaho.